So I think that that's an adequate intro for this topic that we're talking about today. The song is Thank You Next by Ariana Grande. And let's dig on in. So pretty much to me, this song is like a... It's like a reminiscing, pretty much. You know, Ariana Grande is talking about her past relationships. And I feel like this song could be seen as something that is deep, because it's not just her lyrics, but it's actually how the song is put together. And I don't even know if I'm even putting this out right when I'm recording it, because I've been debating about putting it, because it's so much that goes into this song. So pretty much what I just played, let's just get through the theoretical stuff right now, okay? So Thank You Next is, you could say it's either in B-flat minor or D-flat major, D as in dog. You can use the B-flat minor pentatonic scale, you know, it's in D-flat, so this is the D-flat pentatonic scale right there. Because when you do it, if I'm playing, right, like, B-flat minor and D-flat major are relatives, so I can kind of flip between the keys, because pretty much they have the same key signature. It's just that they start on a different note. Like, watch this, D-flat. Okay, same thing as this. The natural minor of B-flat. They're the same key signature, so I can play the same exact notes for both keys. So when we're talking about relatives, when you hear me say relative, major, minor, and stuff like that, that's what I mean. There's two keys that have different names, but they have the same key signature, same number of sharps and flats. Okay, so in this song, the chords are, from what I heard, F sharp major 7, or in this case a G flat major 7, and then it goes to an F dominant 7, but in first inversion, and then it does a B flat minor chord in root position, and then it does a D flat dominant 7 in third inversion. So it does. And see, with that type of pattern right there, the bottom notes in the chords are making an ascension. So they're doing, the bottom notes are. So it's going from F sharp, A chromatically, meaning by a half step, up from A, B flat, to B natural. So that kind of gives, in my opinion, when you're looking at the song itself, like for example, it says in the lyrics, thought I'd end up with Sean, but he wasn't a match. Wrote some songs about Ricky. Now I listen and laugh. Even almost got married. And for Pete, I'm so thank you. Wish I could say thank you to Malcolm, because he was an angel. Now, to me personally, and I'm just figuring this out in my head, this is how I'm connecting it right now. When she talks about Sean, he's like the starting point, and then Malcolm is the ending point, right? So when she talks about Sean, she says she thought she'd end up with him, but by the time she gets done talking about each ex, she says something better about the other one. So it's like, thought I'd end up with Sean. Okay, that's pretty regular. Then she said, wrote some songs. She said, thought I'd end up with Sean, but he wasn't a match. Okay. Wrote some songs about Ricky. Now listen and laugh. That's better than just saying he wasn't a match. Then she says, even almost got married. For Pete, I'm so thankful. So getting married to somebody, almost getting married to somebody, I would put that over listening to songs that I wrote about a person and laughing, because she says she's thankful for that person. Then she says, wish I could say thank you to Malcolm because he was an angel. So as you can see, when she's talking about each boyfriend, each ex-boyfriend is getting increasingly better and better, you know? So I would prefer somebody to call me an angel rather than saying that they're thankful for me. I mean, it's all good, but you know. So that's pretty much how you can decipher what is in the chords. Another thing that can work is like what I was doing when I was playing, the chorus, because the chords are all the same throughout the whole thing. But like to butter it up, I was doing something like So that's a 2-5-1. What it is it's a 2 in and a 5 in the key that you're going to. So my ending point, the ending point is G flat, right? That's my ending point of the chords that I'm doing. So I would do a minor 7 chord of the first one. And then you do a dominant of the 5 chord, and then so in that case it was, if I'm going to G flat, I would do A flat minor, my A flat minor 7, then D flat dominant 7, then to the major 7 chord. So that's what I was doing to kind of add to it and, you know, make it seem a bit fuller when you do the transition between them. So let me go to my notes really quick. So in the chorus, this is what I wrote down. The chords on the note played at the start of each thank you next, quote, they are staggered until after she says next. So it's more like a thank you, next, next, thank you, next, next, thank you, next, thank you. Next, next, thank you, next, next, thank you, next. And then when she's singing the chorus, it's just straight. It's kind of like that. Well, it is like that. So, you know, you can say that I might be reading too deep into this. Maybe, maybe not. But I will say that if the producers of this song were actually thinking of all of these things while they were creating it, they're masterminds, because it's really something that you wouldn't think about unless you really paid attention to it. So I see that as another subliminal way, musically, saying that she's moving on, because when she says next, they play the next chord. It's the next chord. So that's the next boyfriend. Is what I'm saying. It's like the next, like I said, the next chord indicates the next part of her life. Then when in the verse, like I said, the chords are on every one, so beat one, the beginning of it. So like da-da-da-da-da-da, like that. So yeah, what I basically wrote in my notes is what I'm spitballing now. She's pretty much just reminiscing about, it's like when you hold the chord. In the verses, she's talking about her boyfriends. So when you're reminiscing, you're sitting and pausing. You're waiting. You're kind of just in your own head. You're not really paying attention to what's going on around you. You're just in your own space. And then when she gets into the chorus, that's back to reality. She's moving on. You know, when you reminisce about something, you're sitting there. So that's why I feel like, well, maybe not. That might not be the reason why they're holding the chords, but, you know, musically it sounds good. But in a more, I guess, ascended way of thinking, for lack of a better word, they're holding the chords because she's reminiscing about what has passed. In the pre-chorus, she's saying, one taught me love, one taught me patience, one taught me pain. Now I'm so amazing. I've loved and I've lost. But that's not what I see. So look what I got. Look what you taught me. And for that, I say thank you next. Pretty much this whole song I mean, which anybody can really infer that it's about being in a place, remembering that place, and then moving on. I feel like we can all put this into our own lives, into perspective. You know, some people, when things happen to them, they like to hold on to it and say, ah, man, I wish, or I remember, or I wish I could have done this better, or blah, blah, blah. But we have to remember that time moves on and we have to keep moving forward in order to propel ourselves. Because, I mean, like, just for me personally, I'm going to talk about good stuff. For me, back when I was in high school, I had a lot of great performances and stuff like that. But the thing is, you can't hold on to what you used to know, like what you used to do, because that is going to hold you back from moving on into what you can become. And when you hold yourself back from what you can become, you start to become angry about where you are right now. And the point is that you want to move forward. That got a little convoluted, but we just want to move forward. You know, you can't hold yourself back by thinking about the past things. You have to move on and say, I learned this. This was great. I'm moving on to do something better. Or at least we hope to do something better, or at least of equal value, because that's the point to life, to increase and get better. The more you do something, the better you should get at it. Let's go back to the lyrics here. It says, this is the verse, the second verse. Spend more time with my friends. I ain't worried about nothing. Plus, I met someone else. We having better discussions. I know they say I move on too fast, but this one gonna last, because her name is Ari, and I'm so good with that. And then she goes to saying in the pre-chorus, she taught me love. She taught me patience. How she handles pain. That stuff's amazing. I've loved and I've lost, but that's not what I see. Cause look what I found. Ain't no need for searching for that, I say. So pretty much in this verse, she is talking about how her situations and shortcomings and relationships have made her into a better person as far as loving herself. And which I've watched many shows like, you know, Ayanla Fix My Life, things like those shows, where they say that you can't love anybody else if you don't love yourself. You have to figure out what you like to do and what makes you happy by yourself. You can't rely on other people to make you happy. Like, you can't just have your happiness in hanging out with your friends, because if you do that, then when you're not hanging out with your friends, you will have nothing to pull on when you're bored, you know? So it's like you are keeping yourself down and in a box because you're not allowing yourself to love yourself. And then when you love yourself and figure out, hey, I'm the bomb diggity, then you can spread that to your friends. It's like going out with your friends will be an addition to, rather than the whole thing. It's like that will be the chocolate sauce in your milk, if you're trying to make chocolate milk. You get what I'm saying? Rather than it being like store brand chocolate milk. You can stand alone. So that got a little weird too, metaphors. I got to work on my metaphors, guys. But anyway, so next one, she says, one day I'll walk down the aisle holding hands with my mama. I'll be thanking my dad because she grew from the drama. Only want to do it once real bad. Gonna make that stuff last. God forbid something happens. At least this song is a smash. That was just funny. That was kind of just like a meme right there, meme line. Because she says, I've got so much love, got so much patience. I've learned from the pain. I turned out amazing. I've loved and I've lost, but that's not what I see. Because look what I found. Ain't no need for searching. And for that, I'll say. So basically at this point, she's saying, I think that should be pretty clear, but she's saying that one day she wants to get married, and she wants to get married just one time. And she's saying from all these things that she's learned in these other relationships, she wants to be able to just take them and use them as a positive rather than a negative, not to bring them as baggage, but to bring them as tools that she can use in order to remind herself and figure out when a pattern happens. she'll know how to attack the pattern and reverse the pattern when she sees it, because now she has the knowledge in order to do something about it. So I feel like we should all take from that and just take from the experiences that we have. We shouldn't use them in a negative way. Going back to where I watch Ayanla Fix My Life, right? You shouldn't take from the examples in the show sometimes. You shouldn't take something like being molested and blah, 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 something like that, and bringing it into your relationship and basically just abusing your spouse and being just mean to them because of something that happened to you back then. Like, they shouldn't be untrustworthy in your opinion just because of something that happened to you back then. Even though that is something major, you should take the time to go to therapy, to go to these sessions, to go to, you know, the psychiatrist, psychologist, all of those gists and is and blah, 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 blah. You should take the time to go to those people so that you don't abuse the next person who you are in a relationship with. So I feel like we could take a lot of these things from Ariana Grande's song. Don't really know if she wrote the song. I should look that up. But I'm going to assume that obviously she had some type of input into the song, because, you know, like I've said before, singers don't quite write their songs. They have songwriters for a reason. So I hope that this episode was pretty good, guys. I played the song because really I'm not sure about using the actual audio of the actual songs, you know. So more than likely, I'll probably do like what I did today. And until I get very technically savvy, like if there's a listener out there that is more technically savvy than me and knows how to connect my keyboard into the computer to where everybody can hear it when I play it, so that it'll sound cleaner when I'm playing the piano, make sure, guys, that you leave me a voice message. Tell me song requests that you would like me to break down and talk about, you know, give my opinion and give your own opinion too. Actually, that's what I really want this to become. I want this to become like a family group type thing, you know? So I want it to be a communication and a dialogue between myself and my audience. And I might just put the voice message inside of the next episode. I'll probably pick one and we'll see. So hope you guys have a great day. Oh, and I did not say my catchphrase. I am Ethan Kearney, and this is Ivory Discussions, and I hope you're having a magical... Oh, wait, messed it up again. Ha! I hope you're having a... Woo! Hello, my magical, mythical musicians. I am your host, Ethan Kearney, and I totally forgot to leave my own intro into the podcast. Wow, I'm going to leave this in too, just so you guys can hear this. So in your voice message, let me know if you got to the end too. All right, see y'all later. Peace.